What up, and welcome back to another episode of Gritty Knows Best, baby. Yeah! That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah, we're back. We're back. Calm down. I know you've been waiting. Everybody's been anxiously waiting for the return. I had to take a few weeks to get my head together, which we all do sometimes. Hope you've been well, and hope you're doing well. I'm doing pretty good. Like I said, I had to get my head together, and one of those ways was dealing with something that I will be talking about tonight. Tonight's episode is all about self-hatred, something that I know a little too much about, okay? So I'm going to be digging into some of the reasons why I have hated myself over the last couple of years, and it even still affects me to this day. So I will be talking about that, as well as some ways that I choose to help myself, some ways that I choose to combat the self-hatred. And one of those ways is bringing perspective to each and every reason, to bringing perspective to why you may hate yourself, as well as another thing that I choose to do to help out, but I will save that till the end. I do have two disclaimers before we start. Number one, I will try my best not to make this a depressing episode. I'm going to try my best to keep it light, you know, not to drag you down, man. I'm not trying to make you cry or make you think too much of bad thoughts, but it is what it is. This is a heavy topic. Number two is I will not be talking about body image. That is not because I've never experienced, hating myself due to maybe the way I look or something, but it's just something that I don't have enough experience in and something I don't have enough knowledge in to talk about, so we will not be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a few other reasons. So, if this interests you, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Self-hatred. It sucks, it's toxic, and we got to kick its ass. But here are some of the reasons why I hate myself at times, or why I have hated myself. So the first reason is not fitting in, and I'm sure we all can relate to this. In many different ways, you know, we all maybe don't fit in at times. And there are two ways that I have maybe not fit in into regular society. Number one being my visual impairment, which is a disability. And right off the bat, when you have a disability, it is a perceived weakness, which I will get into more as time goes on. But I have a visual impairment. So growing up, I couldn't see things as well as the other kids could in the classroom. I have, I'm nearsighted, and I have partial color blindness. So this is something that, you know, I dealt with since I was born. And obviously, when you have these things, you can be ostracized. You can be teased, and you either got to fight or you got to cry. And I've done both over my life. I used to come home crying, telling my mom that I want to be normal. And I also used to get into some fights about it, especially when I was in public school. It's something that I don't go through as much today, if at all. I don't really experience any self-hatred due to my visual impairment, but it is something that I dealt with a lot as I was growing up, especially because I grew up around all normal people. Eventually, I went to school full of people with a visual impairment, but before that, it was all normal people. So I was the only one with glasses. I was the only one that couldn't really go outside without my sunglasses because of the sun. And there's just a myriad of ways that I was different from everybody. And again, it caused me to be ostracized a bit. And I hated it. But as time went on, I realized that I could not cry about that forever. A, because my vision isn't that bad. I knew a lot of people with way worse vision. And B, because I'm not going to allow my visual impairment to ruin my life, okay? It's at some point, you got to just learn it's time to adjust and it's time to move on. You know, you have to get over the whole, oh my God, I was born this way. I had no control over this. Why me? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And you got to move on to the thoughts about what can you do? And what do you have at your disposal? And listen, when you have a disability, you know, you get perks. You get perks sometimes, baby. So you got to look at what is on the other side of it. And that can be hard at first, especially when you're growing up. And I still go through some struggles with that, which I will get into when I talk about weaknesses. So I just do what I can, and I try and not cry about how disabled I am. And the other thing is, listen, everybody is different. Nobody is perfect. And that is something I've had to realize as well as I got older, is that everybody's dealing with something. No matter what, how cool or how amazing their life looks on the outside, they're dealing with something. Everybody has their thing. So everybody's different, man. So you just do what you can, move on, and realize at the end of the day, mostly everybody is struggling. It's not just you. Let's help each other out. The other way that I feel like I am a little bit different, and listen, I do want to, I should have said this in the beginning, I pride myself in how different I am sometimes, like in terms of musical taste or whatever, but there are certain ways where I don't feel good about being different. What one I just named, and the other one is I have more of a feminine nature about me. I exhibit some feminine traits. I may engage in a lot of feminine activities, as we've talked about on this show. And I've have ever since I was a little kid. And I've grown up that way. And there was a time when I really shoved that down and didn't express myself as much as I could. And then I think around the time of late high school, I started bringing that out more. But there was a time where I wasn't as open about maybe the more feminine aspects of myself and things that I liked, like certain types of music and certain types of movies and anything about that. You know, I just feel like I have more of a feminine energy in general. And I do want to stop this for 1 second and tell you before I even get any further, I'm going to talk about feminine and masculine energy, feminine and masculine traits, whatever. But I'm not speaking about sex or gender when I talk about that. This is not that kind of conversation. This is about feminine and masculine energy, which exists between in all of us. What is labeled as a girly thing to do and labeled as a guy thing to do is very subjective. And it's really just what society deems a manly thing or a girly thing to do, which is what I'll get into. But when you have more of a feminine nature about you, like I feel like I do, the negatives are that in society's eyes, you can be perceived as weak, which if that's, you know, because I guess females are considered the weaker ones, I guess, in society's eyes, which is not true at all. But you can be perceived as weak, or you can be perceived as gay. Now, I know a lot of gay people. That kind of sounds like a Trump thing to say. I know a lot of gay people. Gay people are the best people. I love gay people. But that's not what I'm trying to, I'm not trying to sound like a Trump here. I'm just going to say that I hang out with a lot of gay people. And I really don't give a shit if I am perceived as gay. And I think that I am perceived as gay a lot of times. I think people do look at me and they go, oh, he's gay. And honestly, it doesn't really fucking matter at this point. I really don't care. That's just what society, that's just what people think. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day what people think, because whatever, it really matters about what you think about yourself. And the other thing about having more of a feminine nature about yourself is, in general, you can have your emotions run more wild if you're not careful about it, right? Because you have this energy, you have this feminine energy, which is more dominant within you. And that's what I wanted to say about feminine and masculine energy. We all contain this within us, and it is our job to balance this, because if you're on the more masculine side of things, and maybe if your masculine energy is more powerful or overrides your feminine energy too much, whether you're a girl or a guy, you can be more rigid and you can be more aggressive and abrasive, and you can just not really go with the flow with things too much. There's a myriad of things that can happen if you're too much in your masculine energy, and there's a myriad of things that can happen if you're too much in your feminine energy. I'm not a huge fan of how emotional I can be at times. I can feel things like pretty deeply, and I don't usually like that. I don't really like feeling things as much, and I wish I can shut it off more. You know, I've heard that I can take on other people's emotions like an emotional sponge, which is kind of like a spiritual thing. And, you know, it's just what comes with the territory of being too much in that energy. And let me tell you this, there is a positive to having more of a feminine nature about you, in my opinion, and that is creativity. I feel like my creativity comes from a feminine nature, from the feminine energy, because that is what, that is the energy that really absorbs things and absorbs ideas and is able to sit and gain these things that come from the ether or whatever ideas come from. I feel like that is more of a feminine energy. If you're leaning into that, then you will be more creative. You're more open to things. And then the masculine energy is where you need to really, you know, that's when it comes time to put the idea into play and go out there and make shit happen. That's when you get in your masculine energy. But I feel like my creativity, being open, being able to understand or absorb new ideas is from the feminine energy. I just need to balance it in my life. And I feel like I do balance it in terms of creatively, like being able to go out there and make shit happen. That's, I feel like I'm able to do that. I'm not too much into my head with gaining ideas and not doing anything with it. But, you know, the real problem came when I look around and I compare myself to other guys, I think. Like, especially when I worked in an environment like a maintenance, like everybody there is really tall and everybody there is really big and everybody there is really like tough and manly. And I'm just like, bro, this is not me. So it can make me feel, I guess, inadequate when looking at guys like that who are way more into their masculine than me. You know, it can make me feel a little inadequate, but you just got to do what you can and you got to embrace what you are. Fuck it. That's them. This is me. They got their own positives and negatives, and so do I. We ain't all the same. Okay, now this next one is a big one. That's what she said. This next one I really, really have struggled with, and this is the one that I really continue to struggle with, actually. This is the one that's pretty prominent within me, and that is hating yourself because of mistakes and unattained goals. This one really sucks because it's very true. Like, you did fuck up, or maybe you didn't mess up, but just something happened to where you didn't attain that goal, or you just didn't meet a certain standard that you set for yourself. And especially if you have very high standards of yourself and other people and of life, like myself, and you're a perfectionist, it is very hard sometimes to meet these goals and to not make mistakes. But the hard part about making the mistakes and not meeting the goal is that you actually made the mistake and didn't meet the goal. And that can be really, that can really mess me up. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Foxcatcher, but it's with Steve Carell, and it's a really crazy story about he was a wrestling coach, and he ended up killing one of his guys. Great story that you should actually watch the movie and really watch a documentary, actually, if you don't watch the movie. But there's a part in the movie where Channing Tatum loses a match as an adult. He's not kids. Loses a match for like an Olympic tryout, and he goes into his hotel room, and he proceeds to smack himself, say the worst shit ever, eat a bunch of food, binge eat, and then vomit. And that's basically how I behave, at least internally, when a mistake is made, especially when it's in a project. So I can be really vicious on myself when the littlest mistake is made, or maybe if I didn't attain that goal. And obviously that is just really not good, but that can last to me for a whole day or a couple of days, depending on how severe I feel the mistake or infraction is. The reality of it is, the flip side of it is, there is usually another day, and that is what you don't see after you realize the mistake. I mean, even right now, as I'm talking, I will probably either say something or not say something or do something during this recording that I'm going to hate later on. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But, you know, as time goes on, I've become better with these, with dealing with these mistakes. But it's an uphill battle, but I do have to remember that there is another day. There's always another podcast. There's always another another match if you're a high school wrestler or a college wrestler or an Olympic wrestler, whatever. There's always another time to make up for it, hopefully. Not every time you're going to be able to right every single wrong. There are wrongs there's mistakes I've made and goals that I haven't attained that, like, I can't do it anymore, like high school wrestling. I can't go back to high school and win a match that I didn't do, but there's always usually a way to make up for it, especially if it's during something you're doing right now, a project. There's always another day to do it, or another video, or another game or something. So you shouldn't stress it that much. Really, what you got to do, as cliche as this sounds, you got to learn, grow, and move on. That's it. Whether it's doing the same thing, or it's to another project or another aspect of life. And I have both of them. I have mistakes that I've made in my personal life that I hate, that I regret. Some of them I was able to make up. Some of them I feel like I am coming close to making up, and some of them I won't be able to make up. But you just got to learn, grow, and move on. And don't kill yourself. Don't beat yourself up over it, as bad, as hard as it is. For people like me, and maybe even you, it's going to be hard for you not to take that out, because you take it to heart. Because that mistake and that goal that you didn't attain is now a reflection of you, right? Like, it's on you now. It's personal. And that's why I asked Ben that question in the Ben Scrivens interview. I believe I asked him, like, if you lost your company, like, what would you do? Because I wanted to see what he would say. And he basically said he wouldn't, you know, he'd feel really bad for his employees. And obviously it would hurt a lot, but it wouldn't make him view himself in a negative light. And I was blown away, because if I lost a company, I would totally view myself in the worst light possible. I mean, I view myself in the worst light possible almost every day. So I couldn't imagine doing that, having that happen to me. And that's really why, I guess, you or we can really be so vicious on ourselves, is because that mistake or that thing that we did is now a reflection of us. We're bad people. We're the worst student, you know, the worst wrestler, the worst whatever, because we didn't do that thing that day, or we made a mistake. There's a blemish. And the reality of that is it's not you. It's just, again, maybe something happened. Who knows? Maybe it wasn't the day. And life's about making mistakes and moving on. So that's what we got to do. There's no reason to take it to heart. And I'm saying that now, and watch, I'm gonna do it again. But, you know, you just got to try and move on and not take it upon, not put that burden on yourself so much that it affects the rest of your life. All right. Hopefully you're still with me. Hopefully you're not depressed. Hopefully it didn't get too dark here. But the last reason that I have hated myself was when I am not strong enough, or when I have to ask for help. I do not like asking for help. I want to do everything myself. I want to be the guy that does it all. No help at all. And this is where I'm going to reference my visual impairment again, because it plays into this, because obviously, like I said, a disability is a weakness. And you have to ask for help sometimes. If I had to ask for help, you know, if I needed to know a color that I couldn't see, or if I needed to see a sign. And to prove this to you, I mean, I don't like asking for help so much that, like, when I actually do break down and ask for help, a lot of times it's in the street when I'm looking for something. I'll look for, like, an address. So I'll stop somebody in the street and go, hey, do you know where such and such is? And they'll go, yeah, you know, so you walk down there, right? And then, do you see the green awning? I'll go, yeah, even though I can't see it. Because it's already enough that I have to stop this person and ask them for help because I couldn't see it on my own, or I couldn't navigate this on my own. I'm not going to express that I can't see this green awning or whatever landmark they're telling me. So I will say, yeah, 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 them to death, and then have to go find it myself, even though I didn't understand the instructions correctly. So I will stop somebody for help and then just totally fuck it up because I'm afraid to ask for more help. Okay? And that's not good. I'm learning to not do that as much. I'm learning to ask for help more and more as time goes on. I can think of one real time that I have beat myself up for, because this is the time when I felt probably at my weakest. There was a time, as I expressed in my anxiety episode, where the anxiety attacks and panic attacks were really, really bad. And I was going to the doctor in the hospital all the time. So I had to go to the doctor one time. It was like a new doctor, I believe. And my mom couldn't take me, so my sister had to take me. So my sister ended up coming to my house. She called a cab. She had to take me to the doctor. Then I have an anxiety attack in the doctor's office in front of everybody, totally embarrassed myself, just in the waiting room, totally embarrassed myself. They got to take me to the back. Then my sister has to take me home. She leaves, goes to get the medication they prescribed me, and then I have to take the medication. I ended up not taking the medication. I only took it twice because just I didn't want to do it. But that moment, I still look back on that, and I go, what the fuck? Like, what kind of weak bitch shit is that? You couldn't even go to the doctor by yourself. Then you want to embarrass yourself while you're there, and they have to give you medicine, this crutch. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, what a weak person. And it still eats at me a little bit to this day, like, a little bit, not as much as it used to. I'm able to talk about it now. Before, I was even embarrassed to say that. But that's one of the times I've beaten myself up for, was because I was weak in that moment. I wasn't strong enough to stand on my own. This thing, this emotion, this anxiety overpowered me. And that just totally ripped me up, because, you know, I've experienced so many anxiety attacks on planes, on trains, in classrooms, everywhere. And that one time, it beat me. It fucked me up. And I couldn't even go outside by myself. And there was a lot of times where I couldn't go outside. And it got me. And those moments kill me. And the moments where I'm not strong enough do kill me. And it's just something that I have to, first of all, I have to let go of those moments, because I'm not going to get them back. And the only thing I could do is, again, put my best foot forward. So this is kind of like the mistakes part. But what I'm gonna say now about asking for help is, listen, man, that's what life's about. You got to ask for help. Life's about helping each other out. Because when you get into the whole, oh, I can do everything by myself, I can stand on my own, I don't need anybody, fuck that. That is straight up ego. And the ego wants to be the almighty powerful. The ego doesn't want to collaborate as much. The ego wants to be separated and stand above and stand tall. But that's not what life's about. In life and in business, you need to ask for help. You need a team. And that's something I've had to struggle with, mostly in my personal life. When it comes to creatively, I've always embraced that, because I've always wanted to get things done. So I understood that I can't do it all. But in life, I always want to do things by myself. And sometimes it's burned me to go and do things by myself because I didn't have all the information or I didn't have backup. And sometimes it's really not ended well for me because I wanted to be so egotistical and not have anybody around me. Life's about asking for help when you need it, and life's about giving the help when somebody needs it. So this is something I need to definitely break out of. It's bullshit, especially in these times that we're in right now. You got to do it, and you shouldn't be ashamed for accepting help. It's something I've come to terms with more and more, and I haven't hated myself as much because I'm not the strongest or the baddest. And listen, I always subscribe to the idea that you are stronger than you think. So you should always push your limits and always go past where you think it should go. But sometimes you need a hand, and that's okay. So those are pretty much all the reasons I'm willing to talk about right now on the podcast, at least, because trust me, there's a lot more spinning on in my head at all times. So among the realities of the situation, or the flip sides that I laid out to help in those moments of self-hatred, there's one thing that beats all that. One thing that helps the most. Okay, when you have a whole lot of self-hate, really the only way to beat that is with self-love. As corny as that sounds. And I've been waiting to talk about self-love because this is something that I've been interested in, something that I've been engaging in, something that I've been working on for the last maybe 2 years. Self-love is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Okay, because like I said earlier, we can view ourselves as the ugliest person or the dumbest person or the weirdest person, you name it. I've thought it. You probably thought it if you're listening to this. And I really knew that I needed to buckle down on self-love when I started realizing I had an aversion to people loving me unconditionally, because that's what self-love is. It's unconditional love that you give to yourself, regardless of what you look like or where you are in the moment. And it's just funny because even recently I noticed that when people give me that unconditional love, it weirds me out, man. It weirds me out. I have a history of ghosting females. And I can imagine that some of that is because, like, some of them will, like, really like me off rip, and it'll weird me out, and I'll just ghost them. Just ghost them. And sometimes people in my family tell me that, like, they love me, and I'll just look at them, and I'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You love this? And then the list of things that I hate about myself, more than what I shared today, more than that, will come to my brain and be like, how the fuck could you love this? So once I realized that, I said, okay, it's really time for me to kick this up because this is not a good way to live. You have to love the parts of you that maybe you don't love right now. You have to give those parts of you unconditional love, and you have to start integrating those parts within you. You know, you have to start embracing those parts, regardless of what it is. Like, the femininity thing, like, that's one of the things I had to embrace the most, because if it was it's me, you know, the creativity, the interests. It's like, how am I going to live stuffing that down? You know, how am I going to live not embracing my visual impairment? Am I going to walk around straining my eyes all the time? Am I not going to take the help that I need so I can appear like I don't have a visual problem? Like, how fucking far am I going to take this? No, I need to embrace this. Okay, it's better for me to make a joke about it than cry about it. Okay, it should be easier for me to just go, hey, can you tell me what this is, so I'm not sitting there all day straining my eyes or something. You know, and I realized that that's when I started liking my work more in terms of creatively. Whether it's a podcast, whether it's a song, it's when I started embracing every aspect of myself. You know, because when you hate these parts of yourself, you don't shine the light on them, at least in the public eye. You don't. You try not to bring these parts out of you because you're ostracized for it or whatever. You don't like it. Other people around you don't like it. Some people may like it, but maybe the people around you don't. Maybe you're in an environment where this aspect of yourself is not good. And again, that's all society, and that's all where you are, because at one point in time, this type of body's hot. At another point in time, this type of body's hot. I mean, at one point in time, this trait is good, this is bad. It's all fucked up. And it's all dependent on the moment. And if you live your life dependent on what people think in the moment, you ain't gonna get nowhere, man. You gotta be yourself. You gotta do your thing, as hard as that is. But I didn't start getting anywhere and start really liking myself and liking what I do and attracting better people in my life when I started firmly expressing myself for who I am. I haven't always had a problem with that in general, but obviously there are always ways you can work on yourself. And there was some part to me where I knew I wasn't expressing them as well. So you have to embrace that and integrate that into your life. There is a multitude of ways to start working on the self-love issue. You have mirror work, you have affirmations, visualizations, a whole bunch of stuff that you can do among, you know, just basically integrating those parts within yourself and accepting yourself. You know, accepting yourself is the ultimate, but you have little tips, tricks, and techniques on how to do that. Another thing is just being nice to yourself, as hard as that is, because I know how bad the self-talk could be, as we've talked about already, but that's got to change. The negative self-talk, the tearing yourself up and beating yourself up verbally, has to change, and you have to take it easy on yourself. You know, step by step, day by day, after something bad happens, stop putting all the blame on yourself, and again, take the take the realistic aspect, you know, look at the flip side and be kind to yourself. I mean, it's gross for me to even say, be nice to yourself, be kind to yourself, but it's true. Talk to yourself the way you would if, you know, you were somebody you loved, which is which is what you're growing to become, somebody that you love. And take care of yourself. There's a few different ways to do that. I mean, if in that day, taking care of yourself looks like getting pizza and binging on Netflix because you just can't take it, you know, whatever, it's just an awful day, then that's what taking care of yourself looks like. If taking care of yourself looks like going to the gym because you know that it's something you normally aren't going to do, but you want the results, then that push is self-love. That's taking care of yourself. It depends on the day. Whether it's talking nice to yourself, treating yourself, or pushing yourself, self-love takes many different forms, as I said. There's a lot of different ways to practice it, but either way, you have to do it because walking around with that toxicity within you is awful. Walking around with those thoughts in your head, walking around with those feelings about yourself is the worst. And I think about it this way. Picture yourself on your deathbed. If you're lucky enough to make it to an old age and you're dying, right? And you made it. You made it to the end of your life. Maybe you're successful. You got everything you wanted material-wise. But do you think about all your days, all your years were spent hating yourself through the achievements or not? I mean, you spent every day on this planet hating yourself. That's what was in the background. That was what was internally going on when you could have been looking at the beauty in the world and the beauty in yourself. That's what you did. What a waste. That's what I think about. I'm always talking about, oh, I don't want to die with this regret and with that regret. But the ultimate regret seems to be now walking around with a tremendous amount of self-hatred that's just ruining every moment. As hard as it is, enjoy more of the moments you have, because walking around with that is awful. You need to drop it. You're going to be lighter. You're going to be able to express yourself better without this weight, without this cloud around you. And you're going to be able to have more fun. Like I said, I deal with it a lot, but I've also worked on it a lot. So I can walk around with a lighter heart and I can pick myself up after a loss or after a mistake a lot quicker because I'm not killing myself over it. Okay? A little side note before I end this off. Be careful with others. Be a little more nicer to others the same way I'm telling you to be nicer to yourself, because you don't know what the other person is going through internally. So try and give people a pass as much as you can in your daily life. Whether somebody cuts you off or does something dumb or says something dumb, this person may be inadvertently taking out their struggles or their depression, anxiety, whatever onto you. Maybe they just do something forgetful and you want to go off on them. I love going off on people. It's the best. But I do it to myself all the time too. So it's not right though. It's not right to do that. It's not the best. It's just something that I've grown up doing all the time. But that means you're not taking their, you may not be seeing the whole picture is what I'm saying. So as much as you can, let people slide a little bit because you don't know what they're going through. Not every time. Some people need to get gone off on. But if you're good at hiding the self-hatred or whatever you're going through, other people probably are as well. And we're all probably walking around with a crazy amount of guilt, shame, regret, whatever. So, you know, if somebody does something stupid, just let them slide, man. It's going to make your day better and maybe their day better as well. That's all I got to say about self-hatred, self-love, all this stuff. That's the end of my TED Talk. That's the end of my Tony Robbins seminar. Hopefully this made sense. Hopefully you got what you needed out of it. Maybe this was just background noise. I don't know what this was. Maybe you got to learn a little bit about yourself, but I hope you liked it. That's it. hit me up at It's Gritty Bitch on Instagram and on Twitter. Peace and love. See you next time.